Everybody listen up. Here we're shooting another scene of action frames. Now get to your positions. Lighting's
ready.
Cameras.
Yeah.
Figurants.
Clear.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, action.
Down.
Good evening, my dear audiences. Another wonderful Saturday night, huh? I'm your host tonight, Charles. As usual, let's present you with some latest box office information and several coming films first in Info Express.
Thank you for tuning on the radio. I'm your host, Anne. Well, first of all, let's see some tendencies of last week's North America film market.
Surpassed the highly anticipated DC comic adapted movie Batman vs. Superman with a weekend box office of $23.48 million, The Boss, produced by Universal Pictures, became the biggest dark horse this week, and of course surprised all the audiences.
That's true. However, surprised, but don't be so surprised. As we all know, Melissa McCarthy, who played the leading role in The Boss, can always bring satisfactions to the producers.
Ironically, the top two on last weekend's box office list were both greeted with public praises not so high. When people are depressed with BVS 29% tomato meter, The Boss behaves even worse. The tomato meter is only 18%, and most audience commented that there was a bruising on its plot.
I agree, and I'm not going to see The Boss in cinema. And do you know, Anne, with BVS box office came into dilemma, some movie buffs had even presented a petition to Warner Bros. And declared that they want to let someone more capable to take the position of the wizard Zack Snyder, who had directed Superman, Man of Steel, as well as BVS before.
Although reasonable, that's not a good idea. Regardless of what others say, I'm willing to give Snyder a third chance for adapting movies. And that's what Warner Bros. Is doing. Zack Snyder takes the director role of Justice League, another DC comic adapted movie. Justice League is claimed temporarily to be presented on November 17th next year in North America.
Best wishes to the wizard then. Okay, enough for the past week. Let's look into the future. Two new trailers have been released this week and made great waves on many social networks like Twitter and WeChat Moments.
I suppose you mean the trailers of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and Suicide Squad?
Totally right. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, a sequel of Harry Potter series, has just released an informative trailer and made populous Harry Potter fans jump out of joy. If nothing else, the familiar Hedwig variations are enough to remind its audiences of their childhoods.
I just can't agree more. And what helps me to make my determination to see is Eddie Redmayne. He will present as a Margot Newt Scamander in this movie. If you want more information, come to see the trailer yourself, and I promise it won't let you down. The movie is going to be presented on around November this year. Another trailer is about DC's anti-superhero movie, Suicide Squad. Absurd but fantastic, totally DC style.
Yes, yes. And I suppose this should be the end of today's Info Express. Oh, it just occurred to me that Captain America Civil War will be presented soon. Shall we come to see it together?
Shall we? Oh, of course. I love the conflicts between the superheroes, and I've heard this edition of Spider-Man is extraordinarily attractive. This is Anne, my dear listeners. Stay tuned, and next will be much more interesting. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Can't keep my hands to myself. No matter how hard I'm trying.
Welcome to today's storyboard section. I am your host, Fino.
Hi there, this is Alpha Broadcasting.
Alpha, don't you think that we're given a pretty tough job to do in today's program, for the plot is goddamn complicated?
That's true. Therefore, a new solution is needed. I'm not gonna tell the story from beginning to the end. I'll give you my own analysis.
Let's see what you've gotten.
I really believe that it's better to start with the theories of dream. To better understand how the dream was constructed, we must be aware that dream is made of two basic elements. One is repressed desires, another is the disguised satisfaction we have when we were awake.
Also, there is a famous theory in psychology. We try to imitate others' behavior pattern when the relationship is lost, which is of vital importance to explain this story.
Exactly. Now it's time for examples.
Well, I do think we should focus only on the story. Firstly, let's talk about the reality part.
No problem. The reality is shown in the final parts of the movie. The name of our heroine is Diane. She was raised by her aunt and was always longing for the life of an actress. Then one day, she won a dancing contest, which was her first step into the career. And after her aunt's death, she moved to Hollywood for further development.
She failed the audition of a film called Sylvia North Story, but got acquainted with Camellia, who got the heroine role. As Camellia becoming a rising star, she helped Diane find some supporting roles, and soon they developed a homosexual relationship.
But it didn't last long. Not only because Camellia became fiancée of the director Adam, but also she kept such homosexual relationship with another girl. Diane was destroyed. She came to a murderer who gave her a blue key and asked her to fetch the matched box from a beggar when the job was done.
Actually, I didn't figure out what was in that box. Remains of Camellia?
Probably. Anyhow, we're sure that Diane had successfully murdered Camellia. However, that didn't ease any pain. Diane was tortured by her sadness, guilty, and illusions even harder. Before she mentally broke down and committed suicide, she fell asleep and had a nightmare.
The dream starts from a car accident. Rita is somehow Camellia in reality.
Okay, here comes the analysis. Diane hoped so strongly that Camellia was still alive, so in her dream, Rita survived the accident. Also, Diane refused to believe that it was her who hired the murderer. Therefore, the murderer came from a certain movie company in a dream.
Then we saw a man and his psychotherapist in a cafe. The man said that he had a terrifying dream about a devil with a hunting face. When they walked out the cafe, the face unexpectedly appeared around the corner. I have to admit that I was really scared to death.
So did I. As we know that face belongs to a beggar that gave Diane the box, he is a witness of Diane's crime, in other words. The man in her dream said that he would never want to see that face again. In this case, Diane put herself in this man to indirectly express her fear.
According to this series, Adam's being punished is explained. And I also think that Diane changed her place with Camellia. As a result, Rita was so helpless that can't lie without Betty's help in the dream.
You're pretty smart, Fino. Then can you tell me why they saw a rotten body in the bed?
Though it's hard recognizing, I believe that body is Camellia.
Go on.
Diane knew in her depths that Camellia was killed. After all, this thought is the major director of the dream.
Sure, they ran back home and had sex later in that night. In this part, Diane was satisfied with Rita's companion, but still couldn't erase the idea that Camellia was gone. Weakened by Rita, Betty went to a theater with her. Performance there kept on repeating that these were illusions, which indicated that the dreamer was about to wake up. There was no Camellia in reality. When Betty came to this idea, she couldn't stop shaking.
At the same time, the blue box appeared in her handbag. She hoped to get rid of reality only to come closer to its cruelness.
She pulled the trigger, ended the story with a gunshot, and nothing remained except silence.
Wow, the director is such a genius to demonstrate nightmares so vividly.
Indeed, and oh Jesus, the job is finally done.
A sigh of relief. And dear audiences, please stay tuned for Flashback.
Goodbye.
Are you tired of a lonely's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening. I'm Diane. a Canadian actress who came all the way along to Hollywood. My dream place. And this is where I found my love, Camilla. I loved her until she falls for the movie director, Adam. She is more successful than I am and she betrayed me. And that's how I began my revenge.
Clip 1.
The Castiglione brothers, let me introduce you around. Oh, please. Just take a seat. This is Mr. Darby, who you know, and this is the director, Adam Kesher, and his manager, Robert Smith. She's very pretty.
May I offer you gentlemen anything?
Espresso.
Nothing.
What's the photo for?
One espresso? No, that's it. I think you're going to enjoy your espresso this time. I've done research knowing how hard you are to please. This one comes highly recommended.
What's the photo for?
It's a recommendation.
A recommendation to you, Adam.
It's not a recommendation.
This is the girl.
What girl? For what? What is this, Ray?
We're happy to put her up for consideration. You'll be pleased to know that there's quite a bit of interest in this role.
Interest? No. There are 6 of the top actresses want this.
This is the girl.
Ray, take care of this.
Hold on, Adam.
Hold on? There's no way. There's no way.
Pardon me?
A napkin.
Of course. Excuse me. Is that all, sir? Shit.
That was highly recommended.
One of the finest espressos.
What is going on? That girl is not in my movie.
Help me! This is the girl.
Hey, that girl is not in my film.
It's no longer your film. This is the girl.
Clip 2.
Oh, and Ruth, I'll try. I'm gonna study those lines until I know them inside out. Yep, either right here on this fabulous leather couch, or I'll take them with a coffee into the courtyard like a movie star. Oh, I got a real shock to find your friend Rita here. She was in the shower and I opened the door. Rita? What do you mean? Well, she was in an accident. Rita, your friend? No, Coco unlocked the door. No, she didn't see her. She's sleeping. I'm sure there's some explanation for that. I don't think we have to do that. Please don't worry. We won't need to, please. You are awake. I think I misunderstood. I thought you knew my aunt, and that's why you were here. I just talked to my aunt, and she wants me to call the police. Rita?
I'm sorry.
What is it, Rita?
I thought when I woke up, I thought sleep would do it.
What's wrong?
I don't know who I am.
What do you mean? You're Rita?
No, I'm not. I don't know what my name is. I don't know who I am.
This is your purse. Your name must be in your purse.
You want to know, don't you?
Yes, but...
Open it.
Clip 3.
You're still here?
I came back. I thought that's what you wanted.
Nobody wants you here.
Really?
My parents are right upstairs. They think you've left.
So? Surprise!
I can call my dad.
But you won't.
If you're trying to blackmail me, it's not gonna work. You're playing a dangerous game here.
You know what I want. It's not that difficult.
Get out. Get out before I call my dad. He trusts you. You're his best friend. This would be the end of everything.
What about you? What will your dad think about you?
Stop. Just stop it. That's what you said from the beginning. If I tell what happened, they will arrest you and put you in jail. So get out of here before...
Before what?
Before I kill you.
Then they'd put you in jail.
Then I cry and cry and cry, and then I say with a big emotion, I hate you! I hate us both! Such a lame thing.
Oh, but you're really good.
Thank you, darling.
Clip 4.
I'm from Deep River, Ontario. A small town. So you rolled in here from Canada.
I always wanted to come here. I won this jitterbug contest. That sort of led to acting. You know, wanting to act. When my aunt died. Anyway, she left me some money. She worked here.
In the movies?
Yes.
Well, how did you meet Camilla?
On the Sylvia No Story.
Oh, Camilla was great in that.
Yo nunca fui a Casablanca con Luigi.
Qué lástima. Que va?
Yeah, I wanted the lead so bad. Anyway, Camilla got the part. The director?
Bob Brooker?
Yes. He didn't think so much of me. Anyway, that's when we became friends. She helped me getting some parts in some of her films.
I see.
So I got the pool, and she got the pool man. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to buy the judge a Rolls Royce. Sometimes good things happen. So I guess we've saved the best for last. Do you want to tell them?
No, you tell them.
Camilla and I are going to be...
Tired of a lonely's work. Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, my dear audience. Thank you for joining us in today's Action English. This is Chloe.
And this is Judy. I know you might still find yourself totally clueless after hearing about the plot earlier. Well, now you can take a break, because for this part of the show, we'll step away a bit from the mind-blowing plot and focus on the useful phrases. To be frank, compared with the story, the language level in the dialogue seems quite basic.
Right. I find it's not very hard watching it without the subtitles. Anyway, there are still many English tips that we can pick up.好的，接下来请听第一段原声。
Well, you and your aunt probably have an understanding, so here's the key. And if you need anything, just give a holler.
Betty 初次造访姨妈家，受到了房东的热情欢迎。房东告诉她，如果有什么需要的话 ，just give a holler。这里的 holler 是喊叫的意思，用在这儿表示说一声，告诉一声。实际上 ，holler 这个词还有很多其他常用的意思。比如抱怨发牢骚，举个例子 ，Housewives often holler about high cost of living， 主妇们常常抱怨生活费用昂贵。在俚语中 ，holler 也有告密、打小报告的意思。
同样，在这段原声中，热情的房东提出可以介绍 Betty 认识周围那些邻居，但他其后又补充了一句 ，No hard feelings if you don't， No hard feelings 这个短语实际上也有很多重意思，用在这儿是指别见怪不勉强，当你不小心说了什么可能得罪他人的话后，可以赶紧说一句 No hard feelings 以缓和气氛。这个短语也常用来表示不记仇，在和别人争论之后，我们也可以用 Have no hard feelings 表示我们没有怀恨在心。好了，接下来请听下一段原声。
Any new girls on the street lately?
No, I haven't seen any.
A brunette? Maybe a little beat up?
这个片段中，几个街头上的青年正在闲聊，其中一人询问最近有没有 new girls。 这里他用到一个单词 brunette。 Brunette 是指有着深色头发的女孩，有深色必定也有浅色，相应的金发碧眼的女孩常被称作 blonde。 那人之后形容这个女孩 maybe a little beat up。 beat up 这个词除了我们熟悉的暴揍一顿还有其他的意思，在这里它就被用作形容某人蓬头垢面衣衫褴褛。
而当我们用 beat up 形容某件东西时，就是指它破破烂烂的。来看这样一个例句，
He's got loads of money but he's still driving around in that beat up old car。
虽然他有很多钱，他却依旧开着破旧的老爷车到处转悠。可能对于某些人来说， beat up 也是一种态度和风格吧。
当然怀旧风的演绎也需要拿捏尺度，否则就可能只是破破烂烂了。好了，接下来请听下一段原声。
Come on Rita, do you feel up to it?
这个片段中 Betty 想要帮助 Rita 找回自己的记忆，便提出要打电话给警局，询问那天在穆赫兰道是否有一场车祸。而 Rita 对于这个做法似乎抱有一丝犹豫和不安。Betty 这时鼓励他，并问他 Do you feel up to it? 你觉得自己可以吗？这里的 feel up to something 是指觉得自己能够胜任某事。
这个短语在生活中也很常用，举个例子，当你已经从早到晚忙了一天时，老师突然又布置给你一个任务，相信你的内心一定是拒绝的。这时不妨直接告诉老师 I don't feel up to any more work today，我觉得我今天干不了更多活了，相信你的老师也一定会体谅你的。
当然前提是老师得相信这不是你偷懒的借口。 Anyway, here comes our next clip.
No, you're not thinking. You're too busy being a smart aleck to be thinking. Now I want you to think and stop being a smart aleck. Can you try that for me?
在这个片段中，导演同一个神秘的牛仔秘密会面，在牛仔说了一通玄乎其神的话之后，导演显得有些不屑和怀疑。这时牛仔直言其根本没有认真思考他的话，而是 too busy being a smart aleck。 这里的 smart aleck 就是我们常说的自作聪明的意思。
这个说法和英文的另一个说法 know it all 很接近，都是指那些有小聪明就爱四处显摆自以为是的人。Well, no one likes to know it all. 对什么事都有所了解固然好，但是注意不要因此而自负，否则就有可能成为别人眼中的 smart aleck 了。Well, guess that's all for today's phrases. Why not take a short review?
没错，让我们来一起回顾一下今天所学习的用法。Give a holler, 说一声。
No hard feelings, 别见怪。
Beat up, 蓬头垢面。
Feel up to something, 觉得可以胜任某事。
Smart aleck, 自作聪明的人。
英语的积累是个漫长的过程，希望今天介绍的这些用法能够助你的英语水平更上一层楼。
Thank you again for sharing this wonderful time together. Coming up is close up.
Stay tuned.
Tired of a long day's work, watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
evening, my dear audiences. I'm your old friend, Daphne.
And this is Jake. Welcome to Close Up today. We're glad to introduce you a distinguished actress in today's film, Mulholland Drive.
Yeah, and I guess you might get well known of this film from program tonight. So we're going to talk something about one of the leading roles in the film, Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts was born in England. Her father died when Naomi was 7, and she began to follow her mother and her brother around England until she was 14, when they settled in Australia, where her maternal grandmother was from.
Naomi showed her interest in acting from her childhood. She coaxed her mother into letting her take acting class when they arrived. After big parts in commercials, she landed her first role in The Fool Love Alone. At the same time, Naomi met her best friend, Nicole Kidman, when they both auditioned for a bikini commercial and they shared the taxi ride home.
Well, I have to say they are both charming women, and in 1991, Naomi starred along Kidman in a Sleeping Kid Flirting directed by John Dweegan.
What's more, Naomi continued her career by starring in the Australian Brides of Christ, co-starring Oscar winners Russell Crowe and Brenda Fricker.
She starred in several films in the next few years, but they didn't fare well at the box office and didn't do much for her career as a whole.
It wasn't until David Lynch cast her in the critical acclaimed film Mulholland Drive that she began to become noticed. Her part as an aspiring actress showed her strong acting ability and wide range and earned her much respect, as much as to say by some that she was overlooked for an Oscar nomination that year.
However, a minded man will not be betrayed by the god. Stardom finally came to Naomi in a surprise hit, The Ring, which grossed over $100 million at the box office and starred Watts as an investigative reporter hunting down the truth behind several mysterious deaths seemingly caused by a videotape.
And after loads of tries later, in 2005 she reprised her role as a protective mother reporter Rachel Keller in The Ring 2. The movie, released in March, opened to $35 million at the box office in the first weekend and established her as a box office draw. Also in 2005, it was decided that her independent movie Ally Parker would be re-released in late 2005 after its success at resurfacing at the Sundance Film Festival.
It's not strange nowadays that an outstanding actor and actress would take part in directing the film, and so did Naomi. The movie we're discussing today, Mulholland Drive, which Naomi also produced, features her in the title role and is a bit biography. But it exaggerated a take of the life of a struggling actress as she comes to Hollywood and encounters nightmares of the profession.
In 2006, she starred with Edward Norton in The Painted Veil. Meanwhile, she succeeded both in career and family. In July of 2007, Naomi gave birth to a boy, Alexander Pate, in Los Angeles with Liev Schreiber.
Since then, her career choices have gathered even more critical acclaim with starring roles in German director Michael Haneke's American remake of the thriller Funny Games, David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises.
What's gratifyingly, in mid-2008, Watts announced she was expecting her second child with Schreiber and gave birth to another boy, Samuel Kai, in New York on December the 13th.
Yeah, and she's totally a representative of independent and diligent actress who balanced well between a life and job.
Absolutely. I believe you can tell from her brilliant acting that she loves acting from her deep inside. By the way, she has a talented sense of humor and performs naturally in the talk shows.
Totally. So we'll give you a little funny part of her talk shows when she's younger. And I'm afraid our close-up is about to say goodbye tonight.
We'll still be waiting for you next Saturday night here. I'm Daphne.
I'm Jake.
See you.
I would think I was about 8.
This is your grandparents'
mm-hmm.
home. And what is the name of the town in Wales?
Llangefni.
Pardon me?
Llangefni. There's a town nearby. Do you want me to tell you what that one's called?
Yeah.
Llanfa Pwll Gwyngyll Goger, Chwyndrobi Llandysilio Gogogoch.
And what does that mean?
I don't know.
you're tired of a long day's work, watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, dear audience. Welcome to this week's TikTok Talk. This is Charles, and here with me are Cynic and Jake.
Yeah, very happy to see you guys here.
Wow, an awesome Saturday again.
As usual, today we are going to talk about a film directed by David Lynch, featuring Naomi Watts and Laura Herring.
You mean Mulholland Drive? Jesus Christ, that's quite an amazing movie.
Actually, I didn't know what the story was talking about at all the first time I watched it. So I turned to the internet, finding some netizens' comments and explanations of this film. With more understanding, I watched Mulholland Drive again and again to make out the ideas of the writer and the director.
I can't agree more with you. After all, David Lynch is famous for his genius conception that is hard for average people to understand. Especially for me, a normal human.
Interesting. But that's true. It is alleged that every shoot of this film has ulterior motives. For instance, at very beginning of the film, at first glance, you may not even know what's on screen. Why shooting bad? And what happened when an unknown woman sitting at the back of a car appeared in Mulholland?
At this moment, we can know nothing but there's someone who wants to kill Rita. Then the other leading role, Betty, comes, in the company of the strange couple, Happily. At first glance, I thought they were Betty's aunt and uncle, but it turns out they were just nobody. So I was confused.
Well, an early interpretation of the film uses dream analysis to explain that the first part is a dream of the real Diane Sowen, who has cast her dream self as the innocent and hopeful Betty Elms, reconstructing her history and persona into something like an old Hollywood film. In the dream, Betty is successful, charming, and lives the fantasy life of a soon-to-be famous actress.
Yeah, actually only the last one-fifth of the film presents Diane's real life, in which she has failed both personally and professionally. She arranged for Camilla, an ex-lover, to be killed and unable to cope with the guilt, reimagines her as a dependent, pliable amnesiac Rita. Clues to her inevitable demise, however, continue to appear throughout her dream.
This interpretation was just similar to what Naomi Watts constructed, who played the role of Betty in the film. When she said in an interview, "I thought Diane was the real character and that Betty was the person she wanted to be and had dreamed of. Rita is a damsel in distress, and she's in absolute need of Betty. And Betty controls her as if she were a doll. Rita is Betty's fantasy of who she wants Camilla to be."
Have you noticed that Watts' own early experiences in Hollywood parallel those of Diane's? She endured some professional frustration before she became successful, auditioned for parts in which she did not believe, and encountered people who did not follow through with opportunities. Once she recalled, there were a lot of promises, but nothing actually came off.
That sounds quite upset. And since it's a challenge to understand the film, I turn to refer to some critics' ideas. Regardless of the proliferation of theories, critics note that no explanation satisfies all of the loose ends and questions that arise from the film. Stephen Holden of the New York Times writes, "Mulholland Drive has little to do with any single character's love life or professional ambition. The movie is an ever-deepening reflection on the allure of Hollywood and on the multiple role-playing and self-invention that the movie-going experience promises. What greater power is there than the power to enter and to program the dream life of the culture?" Jay Hoberman from The Village Voice echoes this sentiment by calling it a poisonous Valentine to Hollywood.
A brilliant comparison, isn't it? I think it's a good way to study the film. They have linked the makeup plots with real situations. It reminds me that there is a belief that Mulholland Drive is a proof of heartbreakings and dream ruin in Hollywood.
I think that makes sense. Unlike the positive kind of film promoting American dreams, the filmmaking style of David Lynch has been written about extensively using descriptions like ultra-weird, dark, and oddball. Todd McGowan writes, one cannot watch a Lynch film the way one watches a standard Hollywood film noir, nor in the way that one watches most radical films. Through Lynch's juxtaposition of cliché and surreal, nightmares and fantasies, non-linear storylines, camera work, sound and lightning, he presents a film that challenges viewers to suspend belief of what they're experiencing.
Many of the characters in Mulholland Drive are archetypes that can only be perceived as cliché. The new Hollywood hopeful, the femme fatale, the maverick director and shady power brokers that Lynch never seems to explore fully. Lynch places these often hackneyed characters in dire situations, creating dreamlike qualities. By using these characters in scenarios that have components and references to dreams, fantasies and nightmares, viewers are left to decide, between the extremes, what is reality. One film analyst writes him, like most surrealists, Lynch's language of the unexplained is the fluid language of dreams.
Well, well, it does need a lot of efforts to understand David Lynch, but guys, today's time is running out, so that's all for today's TikTok talk.
And next is Gramophone. I'm Charles, and together with Jake and Cynic.
Goodbye!
Are you tired of a lonely's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Welcome to Gramophone, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Cynic. Tonight is going to be full of horror and thrill, because we're going to follow the manifestation of the film's dark music while dive deeply into Diane's dream. Shh! Are we ready there? It's widely known that David Lynch uses the screen as a visual notebook to record his unique dreams. Each of his films carries his signature motifs: the immediate transformation from reality to the absurd, the dark underbelly of Americana, and plots that twist in and out of each other until they're indistinguishable. Likewise, the film's soundtrack creates an atmosphere as offsetting and haunting as the picture itself. Angelo Badalamenti is an American composer. He has worked with director David Lynch on many films, among which are Blue Velvet, The Twin Peaks, The Straight Story, and Mulholland Drive. He has received the 1990 Grammy Award for Best Pop Instrumental Performance for his Twin Peaks theme, as well as the Lifetime Achievement Award and the Henry Mancini Award. Like every collaboration between David Lynch and Angelo Badalamenti, Mulholland Drive's soundtrack is equally eerie and elegant. Most of the tracks employ the use of some jazzy sounds and low-key piano sounds. It is an eclectic mix of oldies, big band music, atmospheric soundscapes, and darker, harder rock. This score of surreal compositions will take you far, far away. Let's have a listen. Jitterbug, the first track of the album, starts along with the upbeat and dancey opening. The soft, shifting piano chords gives away the sneaky false sunshine right from the start. Though appearing to be quite cheerful, it kicks the film off with an unsettling feeling, setting the tone of the dark, strange events that will occur while adding to the sense of foreboding. If you were to wake up in the middle of the night, having seen Mulholland Drive and then hear it playing somewhere in your house, you would probably break out in a cold sweat. Jitterbug's sheer brilliance in its own dark, twisted way. The percussive jitterbug dances with the youth. The main theme then takes over as one of the most sweeping, sad orchestrations. Mulholland Drive, the title track, is brooding and dark, but compelling. It's beautiful and sprawling, yet suffocating. When Camilla or Diane sits in the backseat of the car, when the scene of the city's overveil slowly roll in, we know for sure that bad things happen there.
We were shown a Hollywood that is both hopeful and desperate, shallow and rich, beautiful and very, very dark. Guarding the emotional thread of the scene, the track reeks of hidden evil, yet the edgy, unsettling, if sometimes melancholic atmosphere was just perfect. In one word,Badalamenti has done, as usual, a great job in turning Lynch's peculiar vision into music. Simply by listening to it, you will be immediately transported to that dark, beautiful, and haunting universe. So, that's all for today's gramophone. Be sure to see the movie and enjoy the music. You won't be disappointed. This is Cynic. See you next week.
Cast for today. Producer.
Roy Cynic.
Anchor.
何爱农 Sino
劳逸勤 Chloe
陈布里 Charles
Journalist
洪俊杰 Alva
张丹西 Anne
吴希远 Apollo
陈以慧 Daphne
葛嘉诚 Jake
刘一乐 Judy
陈子薇 Monica
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。